morning. Welcome to worship on this drippy Sunday morning in August, the second Sunday in August. Good to see you all here this morning, and I know why you're here. It's not to see me. It's to see Ida be baptized this morning. That's the greatest big good news that we have this morning, is the baptism of Ida Corrine Brandt, as we celebrate that sacrament with her and her parents and her family and the church this morning. Other good news announcements you wish to share? Cucumbers, help yourself. Please help yourself. They've been very prolific this year. Well, they're coming. But cucumbers, we've got several last week. They're very good. They're kind of curly. They're a challenge to peel because they kind of go like this, but they're wonderful. So help yourself. Please take them because there'll be more. Marilyn, there's a reception this afternoon from 2 to 4, so come back and say hello, goodbye, whatever. Says Pam and I retire here in another, well, in another 3 weeks, but my last Sunday is next Sunday here in the pulpit. I'm taking the last 2 weeks of August off as vacation, and that will be spent moving. So happy vacation, huh? There's some good news, and that you, some of you know that our son, youngest son and daughter-in-law have been living in our house in Ames, and they informed us yesterday that they plan to move out next Saturday. So, woohoo! We wondered if that was ever going to come about in a timely manner. But they are making progress, so we'll see. I told one of my coffee friends that this week, and he said, "Do you want to lay odds on that?" So we'll see, because you know if you've ever moved, and we've all moved sometime or another, that they don't always go according to Hoyle. So we'll see how it goes. It'll be interesting. Others, Helen, pick your own pears. Show up out at the farm and pick your own. Please call Helen before. Yeah, don't just show up. But pears should be ready about now, shouldn't they? Others, Chris. Okay. That's the hope. That's the hope. Well, it's good that kids will be going back to college here in another week or so. So time to get those checks out. Other thing. Good news in the parsonage. A week and a half ago, the downstairs big air conditioner gave up, and so we were without air conditioning in the house downstairs for about a week and a half almost. But thank goodness it was a lot cooler, so it wasn't a big deal. But Mick and I put the new air conditioner in Tuesday. Yeah. Tuesday afternoon, a job, and you know how this goes too, a job that we thought would take 2 hours took about 4.5 or 5. But that's always the way that goes too. But it's good to have that back, and it's working wonderfully. Not so good news. Good news, bad news, good news. Bad news is that Alicia texted me. She sent it at 4:30 this morning. I didn't see it till later this morning, that she was not feeling well and didn't think she was going to be able to play for us today. And I said, that's fine. Stay home. Take care of yourself. But the good news is we all know how to sing, and we can sing a cappella with not too much trouble. We're a pretty talented group. We have a volunteer. Aren't you sorry you came? That'd be great if you would. So whenever you're ready. Okay. Never mind. It rained yesterday. We all know that. And once if it rains from a certain amount of rain at a certain pace, and the wind blows from the right direction, we have leaks in the sanctuary. Marilyn was here earlier this morning. Back in that area, right back there inside the sanctuary, there were 4 buckets there that had water, and it's leaked in those places before. It's kind of a mystery who put them out, but I'm thinking it was probably Misty, our custodian, because they were church buckets, and she was here yesterday morning when it was raining. So they were pretty full. So I dumped those out this morning and put those away, but thanks to whoever did that, and we assume it's Misty for getting those out. Otherwise, the carpet gets kind of wet and soggy, so it's good to have those there. Anything else? Helen.
Welcome back, David.
Yes, David is back. Just got back, well, back here to town yesterday, but it said Chicago on Friday, so. And I heard something about a 30-hour day. David just got back from a couple weeks, 2.5 weeks, something like that, in Japan. So welcome him back as our lecturer this morning. Anything else? I call your attention to the announcements on the back of your bulletin. One that did not make it, just came in the mail yesterday. There's a flyer on the bulletin board outside the sanctuary. The Hospice of the Heartland is going to be sponsoring another grief support group that begins on the 3rd of September and goes through the 8th of October. It's on Wednesdays. Take a look at that. There's also, they included a few little information cards, and I put those on the cart in the west entrance of the Fellowship Hall building. So take a look at that. Grief can hit one any time. It's not, there's no time limit on it. Things will trigger our grief, although we adjust to the loss of loved ones and other things. We grieve other things besides the loss of loved ones. So it's helpful, I think, at any time in one's life as we find different things that triggers our grief. Maybe not as intense as when our first experience of death, but it still happens, and it's a good thing to talk with other folk as they walk through that same path with you, with us. Looking at the week ahead, as Marilyn mentioned, a community open house for Pam and I this afternoon. I have a food pantry board meeting on Tuesday evening at 6 o'clock. Wednesday, board meeting at 7, but at 6 o'clock, a legacy meeting, a congregation-wide legacy meeting. Where are you going to meet, Mick? Do you have any idea where you want to? In Fellowship Hall? Okay. Wherever you see lights on. And next Sunday, worship with communion, baptism, a service of release, or in the book of worship, it's a service of farewell for myself and this congregation. Associate Conference Minister Kendi Miller will be here to participate in worship next Sunday morning. We'll look forward to seeing her. And following that, a potluck at Christian and Ashley's place, Bring Something to Share, and we'll have a good time. Yeah. So burgers, grilled burgers, and then everybody bring us something. All right. Sounds great. Anything else? Will those who are able please stand for the call to worship?
We are people who have been called to follow where God leads us. By faith, we can obey even when asked to walk into an unknown future. We are people who have been challenged to tell God's story to others. By faith, we have the ability to share the good news. We are God's children who are invited to feast at the table of grace.
By faith, we will embrace our sisters, brothers, and siblings in Christ.
Our opening hymn this morning is number 72.
Thy faithfulness, O God, Creator. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. You do not change your compassion, it fails not. As you have been, you forever will be. Faithful. faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, your hand has provided. Great is your faithfulness, God, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to your great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, your hand has provided. Great is your faithfulness, God, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, your own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Blessings, O my side. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, your hand has provided. Great faithfulness, God, unto me.
Thank you so much for sharing your talent this morning. Let's join together in our opening prayer. Wonderful God, set your kingdom before us anew. Dwell with us as we bring our songs and prayers, our hopes and hesitations, our faith and our disbelief before you. Demonstrate your kingdom to us through our time of gathering, so that we may be firm and steadfast in love and action to make your way known. Reveal the path that you trail before us, so that we may follow you clearly without distraction or detour. May your Spirit enliven, challenge, and guide us in all things and for all days. Amen.
Come on up, kids. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Wow, what a crowd, huh? Well, good to see you all this morning. How are you? Are you excited for Ida's baptism? Are you going to have a party this afternoon? Yeah, what are you going to do? Waffles. Wow. That's it? Just waffles? Waffles and other stuff. Sounds like a good time to me. I suppose you'll have to play a little bit, won't you? Yeah, or a lot? I hope so. So where's this party going to take place? Okay, cool. All right. For those of you that know the drill, Sam, Jack, and Greta, we have the Red Bag. The Red Bag makes an appearance every Sunday morning at worship at this time, and there's always something in it, but you can't look in it until you guess. Try to guess. Let's put it that way. What's in it? And I'll give you a few hints. There's one thing in it. Well, yeah, actually two things, but one thing is inside the other thing. It is breakable, so you can't throw it around and smash it. You can squeeze it. It's not that breakable. You can feel all over. Right now, it's over in this corner, but it could move because this is a big bag. Now it's in this corner. Now it's in the middle. So, ready to guess? Who's first? We start down at this end? Okay, pass it down. It's kind of heavy, too. A glass? Pretty good guess. Keep your guess in mind. We'll see who's the closest. Oh, yeah, you can shake it, too. What do you think, Greta? A mason jar. It's a jar, so we got glass and two jar guesses. Jack says a jar with something in it. A wooden block with something in it. Something with something in it. Wouldn't be a Sunday morning without a guess of something with something in it, would it? Oh, I was going to ask you two, did you talk to each other this morning about what kind of shirt you were going to wear? You just did? And you just happened to put on the same style of shirt. Pretty cool. I like them. I wish I had one. All right. Ready? Let's see. A glass, a jar, a mason jar, a jar. So you did pretty well because it's a glass mason jar with something in it. What is it? Sand. Why would I put sand? Bring sand in a jar?
I was trying to unscrew it.
Oh, yeah, that would have been not good. It would have been a mess in the bag. Yeah. Why would I put sand in a jar? Does it have a what? Ooh, there's a leaf in here, too. I didn't see that.
There are also rocks.
And there's some little tiny rocks.
Put it in the jar so it doesn't get all over.
That's right. Did that. Well, this reminds me of a Bible story, and it so happens that just about everything I ever encounter reminds me of some Bible story. Don't know why, just a vocational hazard, I guess. There's a story in the Bible. In fact, we're going to read it this morning. I'll read it in just a little bit. About a guy named Abraham. You know about Abraham? What about Abraham? What can you tell me? He did travel a lot. Yes, right. God came to Abraham and said, Abraham, I want you to move. Yep. And Abraham said, God, where am I moving? God said, well, you'll see. Just move. Yeah? Would you do that? And Abraham said, well, you know, God, I kind of like it here. We've been here quite a while. Really? God says, yep, move. And Abraham said, well, okay, if you say so. God says, I promise it'll be a good thing. And Abraham, do you remember Abraham's wife's name? Sarah, that's right. And Sarah and Abraham didn't have any kids. But God promised Sarah that she would have a child. And, Sarah was getting up there in years. Yeah, and God said to Abraham, he said, look at the stars. Must have been a clear night, huh? How many stars are up in the sky?
Too many.
Too many to count, right? There was an astronomer, his name was Carl Sagan. He died quite a while ago, but he had a program on public television called Cosmos, and he said, billions and billions of stars. That's a lot. Infinity, actually, you're right. But God also said, Abraham, look at the sand on the beach, sand in this jar. You'll have as many ancestors, more than you can count, just more than the sand on the beach. How much sand do you think is in this jar? How many little tiny grains of sand and little teeny rocks?
1,000?
8,000? 800? Too much to count. It's a lot. What do you think?
8,000.
Well, it's a lot. But what this reminds me of is God's promises to Abraham and Sarah, and God promises to us too. What promises does God make to us? Do what? Yes. That? What else? God says, I'll always love you. I'll always be there for you. A few good promises. Do you ever make a promise to somebody? What kind of promises do you make? I know what. I'll bet you all promise your parents that you're going to clean your room, right? No, you don't do that? You do sometimes, but you probably never do it. Yeah, that happens a lot. Or you get it all cleaned up and then you mess it up again. That's how it works. Yeah. Well, we all make promises, each and every one of us, and sometimes we're able to keep them, and sometimes we don't do so good, but that's the way it goes, and we're forgiven when that happens, I hope. But God's promises are always solid gold, always good, and we can be happy about that and thankful for that and share that with everybody we meet. So, sand. Lots of sand. Lots of promises that God makes, and they're always, God always keeps God's promises. So let's have a prayer. You can go back to your seats. We'll put, pass the jar down. We'll put that next to Jesus where he sits on the step there. Are you ready to pray? Oh, one more thing. We're not quite ready to baptize Ida yet, but it's coming up real quick. And if you'd like to see better, I would invite you to sit in these front pews so you get a front row seat so you can see the action. And you can go sit there now if you'd like, after we pray. Okay, ready? Let's pray. God, we all make promises. Sometimes we keep them. Sometimes we don't, even though we intend to. But it's good to know that you keep your promises to each and every one of us. You promise to be there for us. You promise to love us. Maybe not always like what we do, but love us. That we can depend on. Amen.
We would like to keep our sins hidden, our failures a secret. But God would not have us keep silent, but speak our confessions out loud, so we may be blessed with God's mercy and grace. So let us join together to speak our confession of sins to one another and before God as we pray together our prayer of confession that's printed in your bulletin. You have a vision of all people as your beloved children, imaginative God. But we see folks whose language, dress, and skin make them different. You have a vision of a universe filled with goodness and beauty, but we damage it with litter, with violence, with poor choices. You have a vision of a table where we can feast on your grace and hope, but we line up at the fast food counters of sin and greed. Forgive us, visionary of mercy, as we confess that we are not insiders, but immigrants searching for our true home. By faith, may we be willing to be as gracious and compassionate and as hopeful as you are. You love us enough to want us to be with you forever. So may we take the hand of our Savior Jesus, who leads us into your kingdom. The good news for us today, the good news for us every day, is that there is nothing to fear. God's hope is more tenacious than our despair. God's joy is more resilient than our grief. God's love is more compelling than our hate. By grace we are gathered to God. By faith we rest in God's promises of forgiveness and restoration. Thanks be to God. Amen.
At this time, I would invite Ida and her parents and her brother Luther and her godparents, Christian and Corrine, and our board president, Mick Slievert, to come forward, please. You may have noticed that the baptismal bowl looks a little different this morning. This is the Grinberg Baptism Bowl. we know a little bit about the story. This bowl is over 100 years old, and Grinbergs have been baptized out of this bowl for over 100 years. And so we celebrate that this morning and that family tradition that continues. They were bringing children to Jesus that Jesus might touch them. And the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, Jesus was indignant, and he said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the realm of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the realm of God like a child shall not enter it." And Jesus took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands upon them. Jesus came to John to be baptized by John. But John tried to make him change his mind. "I ought to be baptized by you," John said. "Yet you have come to me." Jesus said, "Let it be so for now, for in this way we shall do all that God requires." As soon as Jesus was baptized, he came up out of the water. The heaven was opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God coming down upon him like a dove and lighting upon him. Then a voice said from heaven, "This is my own dear Son, with whom I am well pleased." At another time, Jesus said, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." If you can't see, Ida is just looking at me intently with her finger in her mouth. She has not taken her eyes off of me yet. Have you? You're listening. Yeah, there's a smile. The sacrament of baptism is an outward and visible sign of the grace of God. Inasmuch as the promise of the gospel is not only to us, but also to our children, baptism with water and the Holy Spirit is the mark of their acceptance into the care of Christ's church, a sign and seal of their participation in God's forgiveness, and the beginning of their Christian growth. This is the water of baptism. Out of this water we rise with new life, forgiven of sin, and one in Christ, members of Christ's body. Calvin and Kirsten, I ask you now, do you desire to have your child baptized into the faith and family of Jesus Christ? If so, please say, "I do." Kirsten and Calvin, Christian and Kareen, I ask you, will you encourage Ida to renounce the powers of evil and to receive the freedom of new life in Christ? If so, say, "We will, with the help of God." Will you teach her that she may be led to profess Jesus as Lord and Savior? If so, answer, "We will, with the help of God." Do you promise by the grace of God to be Christ's disciples, to follow in the way of our Savior, to resist oppression and evil, to show love and justice, and to witness to the work and word of Jesus Christ as best you are able? If so, please answer, "We will, with the help of God." Do you promise, according to the grace given to you, to grow with Ida in the Christian faith, to help her to be a faithful member of the Church of Jesus Christ by celebrating Christ's presence, by furthering Christ's mission in all the world, and by offering the nurture of the Christian church so that she may affirm her baptism? If so, answer, "We will, with the help of God." I invite all who are able to stand and join in the congregational ascent. Jesus calls us to make disciples of all nations and to offer them the gift of baptism. Do you who witness and celebrate this sacrament promise your love, support, and care to the one about to be baptized as she lives and grows in Christ? If so, please answer, "We promise our love, support, and care." Let us unite with the church in all times and places in confessing our faith in the triune God. Do you believe in God? If so, answer, "I believe in God." Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? I'm going to need some help. Who wants to help pour the water? Come on up. You can all help. Nope, you're just going to help? Okay, come on over here. Come over on this side. It'll be easier. It's kind of heavy. Thank you. Let us pray. We thank you, God, for the gift of creation called forth by your saving word. Before the world had shape and form, your spirit moved over the waters. Out of the waters of the deep, you formed the firmament and brought forth the earth to sustain all life. In the time of Noah, you washed the earth with waters of the flood, and your ark of salvation bore a new beginning. In the time of Moses, your people Israel passed through the Red Sea waters from slavery to freedom and crossed the flowing Jordan to enter the promised land. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, who was nurtured in the water of Mary's womb. He was baptized by John in the water of the Jordan, became living water to a woman at the Samaritan well, washed the feet of the disciples, and sent them forth to baptize all the nations by water and the Holy Spirit. Blessed by your Holy Spirit, gracious God, this water. By your Holy Spirit, save those who confess the name of Jesus, that sin may have no power over them. Create new life in the one baptized this day, that she may rise in Christ. Glory to you, eternal God, the one who was and is and shall always be, world without end. Amen. Are you ready for this, huh? Are you ready? By what name will this child be called? Ida Corrine Brandt. I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit be upon you, Ida, child of God, disciple of Christ, member of the church. Yeah, fun, isn't it, huh? Can you smile? Huh? She's just taking this all in. This is a big deal, huh?
Is it
Luther's turn? Is it your turn? I think it's already been done. Yeah. I ran across this in Isaiah. The 42nd chapter, I've shared it in baptisms that I've done in the more recent past. Been a while since we had a baptism here. I'm going to paraphrase it a little bit, but this is to share with you in regard to Ida. Take a good look at my servant, Ida. I'm backing her to the hilt. She's the one I chose, and I couldn't be more pleased with her. I've bathed her with my spirit, my life. She'll set everything right among the nations. She won't call attention to what she does with loud speeches or gaudy parades. She won't brush aside the bruised and the hurt, and she won't disregard the small and insignificant. But she'll steadily and firmly set things right. She won't tire out. She won't quit. She won't be stopped until she's finished her work to set things right on earth. It's not Ida's responsibility to do all this by herself. It's all of our responsibilities. But now Ida has joined the mission, the vocation, to help God set the world right. We can celebrate that and give thanks to God for that. Let us pray. We give you thanks, Holy One, Mother and Father of all the faithful, for this your child and for the grace acknowledged here today in water and the Holy Spirit. Embrace us all as sons and daughters in the one household of your love. Grant us grace to receive, nurture, and befriend this new member of the body of Christ. Give to her strength for life's journey, courage in time of suffering, the joy of faith, the freedom of love, and the hope of new life. Through Jesus Christ, who makes us one. Bless also, God, parents of Ida and her godparents. May they always show their gratitude for the life you have given by loving and caring for her. And bless these, your faithful people. Unite them in the peace of Christ and the company of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now we present to you the certificate of baptism and also a small gift to celebrate her baptism. Oh, you can open it. It's just a box. No, I think it's tape. It is a tradition of this congregation to gift each baptized person with a shell necklace. Shell is a symbol of baptism. And we thank Helen Scuffham for making those. God's blessings.
Thank you.
Now, remain standing. Turn to page number 677, and we'll join in the baptism song. Child of blessing, child of promise, baptized with the Spirit's sign. With this water, God has sealed you unto love and grace divine. Child of love, our love's expression, love's creation, love indeed. Fresh from God, refresh our spirits into joy and laughter lead. Child of joy, our dearest treasure, God's you are, from God's you came. Back to God we humbly give you, live as one who bears Christ's name. Child of God, your loving parent, learn to know whose child you are. Grow to laugh and sing and worship, nest and love God more than all.
Please be seated. Our first reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourself that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night, or draws near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he surely would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Our affirmation of faith is in your bulletin. Let's rise as you're able as we join together in affirming our faith. We belong to God, creator of all that is and all that is to come, abundant provider of the gifts in this life and the gifts in our own hearts. It is God alone who gives life, who is generous beyond measure with grace and blessing. We follow Jesus, whom God sent to teach and heal, to show us a new way of living with love and trust and courage, with joy and generosity. In this faith, Jesus gave of himself, even his very life. He was crucified and buried, yet God raised him from death, and he lives among us and grants his Spirit to us. We live by that Holy Spirit and entrust ourselves to its guidance and empowerment. As members of the church, the body of Christ, we devote ourselves to lives of love, rejoicing in the power of forgiveness, the reality of resurrection, and the mystery of eternal life. Amen.
Please be seated. Our focus scripture this morning comes from the book of Hebrews. We don't get in the book of Hebrews very often in the Revised Common Lectionary. From the 11th chapter, the first three verses in verses 8 through 16. I share it with you this morning out of the New Jerusalem Bible. Hear this portion of the book of Hebrews. Only faith can guarantee the blessings that we hope for, or prove the existence of realities that are unseen. It is for their faith that our ancestors are acknowledged. It is by faith that we understand that the ages were created by a word from God so that the invisible might become visible. It was by faith that Abraham obeyed the call to set out for a country that was in the inheritance given to him and his descendants, and that he set out without knowing where he was going. By faith he sojourned in the promised land as though it were not his, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. He looked forward to the well-founded city designed and built by God. It was equally by faith that Sarah, in spite of being past the age, was made able to conceive, because she believed that God, who had made the promise, was faithful to her. Because of this, there came from one man, and one already who had the mark of death on him, descendants as numerous as the stars of heaven and the grains of sand on the seashore, which cannot be counted. All these died in faith before receiving any of the things that had been promised. But they saw them in the far distance and welcomed them, recognizing that they were only strangers and nomads on the earth. People who use such terms about themselves make it quite plain that they are in search of a homeland. If they had meant the country they came from, they would have had the opportunity to return to it. But in fact, they were longing for a better homeland, their heavenly homeland. That is why God is not ashamed to be called their God, since God has founded the city for them. These are the words of our faith. Thanks be to God. There's a company called Imprint. Have you heard of it? Have you seen the commercial? Imprint is a company that makes promotional materials for businesses. They'll print T-shirts. They'll print cups. They'll print anything you can put something on. And I love their commercials. The one I just saw this last week, they aren't on as frequently as they used to be, but the skydiving school here. Remember that one? And they're in the skydiving school, and the guy who packs the parachutes is handing them out and to the divers, and one of the divers, a young woman, says, "Are you sure that you've packed this correctly? Are you certain? Are you imprint certain?" That's their motto, their byline. Are you imprint certain? It's nice to be certain, isn't it? It's comforting. We feel good when we're absolutely certain of what we're doing or what we're thinking or what we believe. But when it comes to our faith, can we really be certain? We like to think so. Faith. What's the opposite of faith? You don't know? Come on, audience participation. What's the opposite of faith?
Doubt.
Maybe. But how about this? I read this somewhere. I don't recall where, but it's all stuck in my mind. The opposite of faith is certainty.
Really, if you stop to think about it, when it comes to our faith, we can't be certain. We can't be certain of anything that we've learned, that we've grown up with in church. We can't be certain that anything in Scripture, what the church teaches, is certain, can we? We don't know. We have faith that it is, but we can't be certain. The late theologian, one of my favorite theologians, Marcus Borg, was asked one time as he was teaching, and Marcus was a pretty progressive theologian. He wrote some great books. I have a number of them. I encourage you to look some of them up and read them. They're fascinating. But somebody asked him, he was teaching in a rather, hostile environment, let's put it that way. And one of the people there stood up and said, "How do you know that you're right? Can you be certain that what you're teaching, what you're saying, what you're telling us is correct?" Marcus's answer, "I can't. I don't know if I'm right or not, but I have faith in what I believe." You know, if you stop to think about it, we live a lot of our life by faith. Huh? We don't think about it, but we do. Think about it. You go to bed at night, you have faith you're going to wake up in the morning, right? You get in the car to go somewhere, you have faith that you're going to drive there and get there safely, but you really don't know. Not too much in our lives is certain. Yeah, there are some things. What do they say? Death and taxes? Okay. But we live by faith. Abraham lived by faith. Sarah lived by faith. The biblical characters lived by faith. We live by faith. The faith in the God who makes promises to us. The scriptures have a lot to say about faith. They don't mention certainty very often, do they? We just celebrated Ida's baptism. That's an act of faith. Faith in the God that loves her. Faith in Ida as she continues to live and to grow and to travel her life's journey with the support of her parents and her sponsors and her family and all of us and the world in general. That's what we're supposed to do. Because we have faith in God's promises. And it's not always easy to keep that faith, is it? No one, not even Jesus, not even God, said it was going to be easy to be faithful. And we know that from experience, right? But that's what we're called to try to do, to be better at. If the world is to become the place that God has envisioned for God's world, that Jesus taught and showed us, and that the Spirit strengthens and encourages us to look forward to, even if we don't live to see it, and we won't, we are encouraged to keep the faith. We pray it every Sunday for the Lord's Prayer, right? God's will be done. It'll be like on earth like it is in heaven. That's the faith that we have. That's the faith that we hope for and look forward to. That's the faith we'll never see in full culmination. But it's the faith that we hold on to, pass on to the next generation, and hope one day will come about. So keep the faith. Hold on to the faith. Be strengthened by the faith, because God has faith in us, and for that we can be truly thankful. Amen. Time for community prayer. As we lift up our prayers before God and one another, our joys, our concerns, our petitions, all lifted up before God, and after each one, I will say, God, out of your steadfast love and care for us, and our response is, hear our prayer. What would you like to lift up in prayer this morning? Sandy. Prayers for treatment for Sandy's friend Kristen and her husband Sean and three kids. Sean has been battling cancer for 4 years and is losing that battle and has entered hospice. We lift up a prayer for them this morning. God, out of your steadfast love and care for us. Helen. Prayers for all of those who are dealing with natural disasters, fires, floods, the heat, the continuing, almost daily reports of earthquakes here, there, and everywhere. We lift all of those folk up in prayer. God, out of your steadfast love and care for us. Oh, for Michael. And he was hit on his bicycle, 7 years old. Lift up prayers for, is Michael still alive? Okay, prayers for Michael as he recovers from being hit by a truck, car, doesn't matter, he got hit. God, out of your steadfast love and care for us. Plenty of conflicts around the world, plenty of wars. Call them conflicts if you want. War is war. We lift up those folk in those areas. God, out of your steadfast love and care for us.
Chris? Palmer. Prayers for Palmer, who was born a bit early. He weighs 2.5 pounds. And for Mom, Becky? Okay, great. Okay. Mom's Olivia. We lift up prayers for the family as Palmer continues to grow. God, out of your steadfast love and care for us. Sky. For the migrants, the immigrants who are fleeing countries to look for a new home, a safer home, we lift them up in prayer. God, out of your steadfast love and care for us. Prayers of thanksgiving for David's safe return. I hope you had a wonderful time. God, out of your steadfast love and care for us, hear our prayer. It's a state fair time, whether you're going or not, big crowds and heat, and we pray for all the exhibitors and all of the vendors who provide those weird foods. We lift them up in prayer for a safe and successful run experience. God, out of your steadfast love and care for us. School will be starting in a couple weeks, 2 weeks from tomorrow. Are you ready, parents? Are you ready, kids? How many of you are ready? How many aren't ready? Looks like a split vote. I assume teachers are going back maybe like this week. Next week? Well, it's coming up anyway, so we pray for teachers and students and staff and bus drivers and all those that play a part in the education of our kids as a new school year begins. God, out of your steadfast love and care for us. Let's join together in the prayer that Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now present our morning offering.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures here below. Praise God above you, heavenly hosts. Praise God, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Please join with me in the prayer of dedication. Generous God, as we bring our gifts, we ask for you to receive them and endow us with wisdom and discernment to be good stewards of your abundant blessings. Amen. Our closing song, number 411.
Yeah.
be your supply. The flame shall not hurt you, my only design, and your dross to consume, and your gold to refine. The soul that on Jesus till leans for repose, I will not desert to its foes. That soul,
the foundation of our faith is firm. Hold on to it. Keep the faith. Share the faith. Live the faith. In everything you think, in everything you say, in everything you do. Go forth with joy, with hope, and with peace. Amen.